now, as howling winds echo across the snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, we present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon by special recording. Brought to you by the Quaker Oats Company, makers of Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice, the delicious cereals shot from guns. In cooperation with the Mutual Broadcasting System. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, breaking the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
I'm King! On you, Husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. Bring you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Young America keeps its musical knowledge up to date by listening to Phonorama Time, starring Johnny Desmond. Every Saturday, Johnny presents a roundup of the platters that are making musical history from coast to coast. In addition, he brings such outstanding big-name guests as Teresa Brewer, the Fontaine Sisters, and Bill Haley's Comets. Guest disc jockeys from every section of the country appear regularly to report to listeners on the top tunes in each of their hometown areas. And interesting teenagers appear on Phonorama Time to bring their viewpoints on what young America is thinking about and talking about in music and other fields as well. Everyone loves Johnny Desmond, and everyone loves his Phonorama Time show. So gather your friends and fellow music fans around this Saturday and every Saturday for the musical session you can't afford to miss. Phonorama Time, starring Johnny Desmond on Mutual over most of these stations.
A big bonfire was blazing in the darkness on Malamute Creek. Around the fire stood a mob of bearded, hard-bitten miners. They had gathered there to listen to a young sourdough named Lou Burnett, who had just climbed up on a packing box to address the group.
I reckon most of you know why I called this meeting tonight. For the ones who don't, I'll start from the beginning and tell you the whole story.
Yeah, go ahead, Lou. Give us the facts.
Ever since we first staked our claims up here on Malamute Creek, we've all been dependent on one man. No need to tell you who I'm talking about. You all know his name.
Oh, we sure do. It's Arnold Colfax.
That's right. Arnold Colfax. When you need grub, where do you buy it? Arnold Colfax. At three times the price you'd pay for it in Dawson. And when you want your gold taken to the bank in Dawson, who ships it there for you? The Colfax Express Company. For the slight charge of 10%.
It's highway robbery, that's what it is.
Well, from now on, all that's going to be changed.
How come, Lou? What do you got in mind?
Starting tomorrow, a new express outfit is going into business. The Malamute Express, run by yours truly.
You'll need teams and drivers to run that kind of service, Lou.
I've already got them. I hired them while I was down in Dawson. Huskies, freight sleds, and four experienced drivers.
How about telling us your rates?
I'll freight in your supplies for you at $1 a pound.
Why, that's good enough for me.
Me too, Lou. You sure get my business.
Now, for letters and newspapers, the express charge will be 2 bits apiece.
How about gold shipments?
I'll carry your gold for 2%.
Now you're really talking.
Colfax won't last a month against competition like that.
Arnold Colfax ran a combination general store and cafe, which also served as the headquarters of the Colfax Express Company. He was seated in his office when a man called Jig entered with an excited look on his face.
Hey, Colfax. I just came back from that miners' meeting that Lou Burnett called out on the creek.
Well, what did he have to say?
He told him he was starting up a new express service to compete with your outfit.
He did, huh? I figured that's what he was up to.
He's offering to freight in supplies at $1 a pound. And he says he'll ship their gold at 2%.
So he thinks he's going to run me out of business.
He'll do it too, boss, unless you cut your rates. You can't fight competition like that.
Yeah, I reckon that's what Burnett figures, too. But maybe he's in for a little surprise.
What do you mean?
If he aims to ship gold for the miners around here, they'll expect him to insure the shipments.
So?
Well, I happen to know he hasn't much capital behind him. So if anything was to happen to those shipments, he might have a tough time making good on the loss.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You got something in mind?
Sure, I've got something in mind. You didn't think I was going to stand by and let him catch me flat-footed, did you?
I reckon you're too smart for that, Colfax.
Well, you reckon right. You know where that old abandoned cabin is, about 10 miles north of here?
Yeah, sure I do.
Well, I've got two boys hiding out up there, waiting for orders from me.
Who are they?
Speed Wiley and Red Hoffman. I didn't want them showing their faces around here, just to be on the safe side.
Good idea.
When's the first shipment leaving?
Burnett's sending out two drivers at noon tomorrow.
Noon, That means they ought to reach Muckluck Pass an hour or two after dark.
Yeah, I reckon so.
All right. Now, here's what you do. The first thing tomorrow morning, go on up to the cabin and pass the word to Speed and Red. Tell them to cut across country and intercept the shipment at the pass.
I got you.
Tell them to gun the drivers and swipe the gold. We'll make a split later on.
Right, boss.
Morning, Jake arrived at the cabin where Speed Wiley and Red Hoffman were staying while they waited for orders from Colfax.
I reckon you must be Red Hoffman.
Yeah, who are you?
Name's Jig. Colfax sent me.
Oh, yeah, come on in.
Yeah, sure.
This is my partner, Speed Wiley.
Hi, Speed.
Howdy. Pull up a chair.
Thanks.
Now, what's the good word?
Two express drivers will be leaving Malamute Creek at noon today. They'll be carrying gold to the bank in Dawson. Colfax wants you two guys to cut across country and lay for him at Muckluck Pass. You ought to reach there sometime after dark.
Oh? Then what?
Gun the drivers and take the gold.
How much will they be carrying?
I don't know, but it ought to be quite a bit. A lot of miners will be shipping out their dust.
It sounds like a good deal, huh, Speed?
Good enough.
Bring the gold back here, and then lie low till you hear from Colfax again. He says he'll make the split with you later on. Hey, who's that?
Yeah, search me. Now take a look out the window. Hey, it's a Marty.
Marty! Holy smoke!
What's the matter?
I know that redcoat. His name's Sergeant Preston.
Keep your shirt on. Maybe he won't come inside.
Morning. I'm Sergeant Preston, Northwest Mounted Police.
Oh, howdy, Sarge.
Don't think I know you, do I?
The name's Hoffman. Red Hoffman.
Mind if I come inside for a few minutes?
No, why should I?
Thanks.
Hello there, Sergeant.
Well, if it isn't Jig. What are you doing here?
Nothing in particular. I was out hunting. Just happened to drop in, that's all.
Who's your partner, Red?
I'm Speed Wiley.
Glad to know you. You two just move in here?
Yeah, figured I'd do a little prospecting up this way.
I see.
Where are you heading, Sarge?
Dawson City, eventually. Just coming back from patrol. Saw the smoke coming out of your cabin. Thought I'd stop in and get acquainted.
Well, that's mighty friendly of you. Hey, you sit down, I'll make you a cup of coffee.
All right, don't mind if I do.
A short time later, Sergeant Preston left the cabin and headed southward. Early that afternoon, he arrived at the cabin of Constable Tom Frazier on Malamute Creek.
Hooking! Hurry, Husky!
Come on, boy. We'll see how Tom's getting along.
Well, Sergeant Preston.
Hello, Tom.
Come in. By golly, it's good to see you. You too, King, old boy. Yeah, take off your parka, Sergeant. Sit down.
Thanks, Tom.
Where'd you come from, Dawson?
No, I've been on patrol in the Peel River District. How's everything going?
Oh, fairly quiet. Miners getting a few fights now and then, that's about all.
By the way, two men have moved into that old cabin about 10 miles north of here. You know anything about them?
No. In fact, I didn't even know the cabin was occupied. Who are they?
Their names are Red Hoffman and Speed Wiley. Pretty rough-looking customers. Well, I believe I've seen them back in Dawson City.
Did they say what they were doing?
They claim they're prospecting.
Prospecting? There's no gold up that way.
I know. That's what made me wonder. When I stopped off at their cabin, Jig was there.
Jig? Oh, you mean the fellow who works for Arnold Colfax.
That's right. Said he was out hunting and just happened to drop in, but it didn't sound very convincing. He seemed rather nervous for some reason or other.
He's a sneaky sort, all right. I never did trust him or his boss either.
He hasn't been up to anything lately, has he?
No, not that I know of.
What about Colfax?
Looks like he may be going out of business one of these days.
Huh? How so?
The miners got fed up with the prices he was charging. So now Lou Burnett has started up a new express service in competition with Colfax. He's going to freight in supplies and ship gold at reasonable rates.
I'm glad to hear it. It's about time someone put Colfax out of business.
That's the way I feel, Sergeant. And the way the miners are backing up Burnett, it may not take long to do it either. Colfax has had his way just about long enough.
Meanwhile, Speed Wiley and Red Hoffman had hit the trail and headed southwest soon after Sergeant Preston had left their cabin. Darkness was falling by the time they reached Mucluck Pass. After hiding their teams in a thick grove of pine trees, they took up positions overlooking the pass. About an hour later, they sighted the two express drivers approaching along the moonlit trail from Malamute Creek.
Here they come now, Speed.
Yeah. Get your gun ready. I'll take the one in the lead. You take the other.
Damn right.
The crooks waited tensely until the two drivers came within range of their guns. And then Speed said,
"All right, let them have it. Let go. Come on, we gotta stop the teams.
Calm down.
Drivers are lying back there in the trail. Maybe we ought to go back and finish them off.
Never mind them. Just grab the gold and let's clear out of here."
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Hey, kids, we're waiting for you out at the ballpark these days. Everybody has fun, cheering the players as they sock home runs, slide into base, whip through double plays. Get in on the fun, the excitement, the hot dogs and Cracker Jack. Come out to the ball game as guest of your favorite team. You can now see major or minor league baseball games free if you are 12 years or younger and bring a paying adult like mom or dad. Here's all you do to get your free ticket. Get a package of Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice or Muffet Shredded Wheat. Tear off the box top and send with your name and address to Baseball, Box 5205, Chicago 77, Illinois. Details are on the tickets. We'll give you that address again during the program, so grab pencil and paper now. For each free ticket, send a box top from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice or Muffet Shredded Wheat. Send the guarantee seal from Quaker Pacotan and you'll get two free tickets. Send to Baseball, Box 5205, Chicago 77, Illinois. Don't miss the big games. Send now. Now to continue. On the morning after the holdup, Sergeant Preston left Malamute Creek and resumed his journey back to Dawson. As he approached Mucluck Pass, he saw a driverless sled standing on the trail, with its team of huskies wrangling and snapping at each other.
Okay, hold your huskies!
Trail of blood, King. Looks like a body's been dragged over there among those trees somewhere. A few moments later, the sergeant discovered the two express drivers. They were lying unconscious in a sheltered spot against the wall of the cliff. One of them was too badly wounded to regain consciousness, but the other revived after the sergeant applied first aid and gave him a little brandy.
Oh, my shoulder.
Easy now. Better just lie still until you get your bearings.
You're a Mountie.
That's right. I'm Sergeant Preston.
An express driver from Malamute Creek.
Lou Burnett's outfit?
Yeah. What about the other driver?
Still alive, badly wounded, though.
Yeah, we were shot from ambush last night.
Did you get a look at the gunman?
No, the shots knocked us out. Came to after a while. Gold was gone. Grabbed a couple of blankets off the sleds and dragged the other driver up here where we could get some shelter.
You think you can stand to be bounced around on the sled?
Sure, I guess so. Well,
we'd better start back to Malamute Creek right away. Your partner needs attention as soon as possible. Night had fallen by the time Sergeant Preston arrived back on Malamute Creek. A number of miners saw him returning with the two wounded drivers. They gather around an excited group as he halted his team in front of Constable Frazier's cabin.
Hurricane! Fire! Hurricane!
Those are the two express drivers.
What happened, Sarge?
They were shot from ambush last night at McCart Pass.
Are they dead?
No, just unconscious.
What about the gold they were carrying?
It was stolen, naturally. Help me get them inside.
Easy does it now.
That's it.
The small group of miners had swelled to an excited mob by the time Lou Burnett arrived at the constable's cabin.
Get Lou now!
Hey, Lou! Lou, your express driver's got pushback last night.
Yeah, I know. Let me through, please. I want to talk to Sergeant Preston.
Sorry, but you'll all have to clear off for the time being.
Now, wait a minute, constable. I got to get in and see the sergeant. I want to find out what happened.
All right, inside, Lou. The rest of you stay back. Come on away from the door.
How are they, Sergeant?
One's in bad shape, Lou. He was shot in the chest. Other got it in the shoulder. He revived for a while, but lost consciousness again while I was bringing him here.
Anything I can do to help?
Not for the moment, Lou. You can start some more water heating on the stove if you want to.
Oh, sure thing, Sergeant.
It was nearly an hour before the sergeant finished extracting the bullets and bandaging the wounds. When he was through, he washed his hands and rolled down his shirt sleeves.
What do you think, Sergeant?
I think they'll both recover, Lou. It'll be a long time before they're in shape to do any more driving for you.
Oh, I'd sure like to get my hands on the sneaking coyotes that shot them. I have a hunch Colfax is in back of this.
How much gold were they carrying?
Over $20,000 worth.
Did you guarantee safe shipment to the miners?
Sure, I had to. Well, I'll have to pay off the full amount.
Do you have that much money?
No, but I can raise it. I have $5,000 in the bank, and my claim ought to sell for around $15,000.
In other words, this loss will wipe you out.
Yep, that's about the size of it.
Well, don't lose heart, Lou. We may be able to find the holdup men and recover the gold.
I sure hope so, Sergeant. You think King can pick up their trail?
He's the best tracker in the territory. How about it, Tom? Your team hitched up yet?
All set, Sergeant. I hitched them up while you were working in the driver's
seat. All right, got your park on. Let's go.
Right.
Well, let me go with you, Sergeant.
Well, no, you stay here and take care of these wounded men till we get back.
How the drivers make out, Sarge? They gonna live?
I hope so. Bullets have been extracted and they're resting quietly.
What I want to know is how about that gold was stolen? I don't refund it to us, Lou, like you claimed you would.
Of course I am. You don't think I'd go back on my promise, do you?
Oh, I ain't saying that. After all, those drivers were carrying a heavy shipment. Like Colfax said yesterday, maybe it's easier to claim you pay us back than it is to do it.
You're doggone right it is. Colfax knows what he's talking about. Maybe now you gents ain't so glad you shipped your gold by the Malamute Express.
Yes, Jig. And maybe Colfax knows something about this robbery, too.
Wild talk like that ain't going to pay off these miners, Burnett.
Listen to me. Listen. All you men who had gold in that shipment, I said I'd guarantee you against loss, and I'm standing back of that promise. You'll all get paid off to the last cent.
You may as well save this talk until the constable and I get back. There's a good chance we'll be able to catch the holdup men and recover the gold.
You going to trail them, Sarge?
Yes. With King's help, we should be able to find them.
It's been 24 hours since the holdup. There won't be any scent left, will there?
King's followed much colder trails than that. Let's go, Tom.
Right, Sergeant.
All right, King. Up front, boy, and line the trail.
Line up, Tennessee.
All right. On King. On board. Preston and the constable headed west toward Muckluck Pass. But as soon as they had crossed the bench land bordering the creek and were out of sight of the miners' cabins, the sergeant called a halt.
Looking!
What are we stopping for, Sergeant?
We're not going to the scene of the holdup, Tom.
But how do you expect to find the men who did it?
I may be wrong, Tom, but I believe I know where to find them right now.
You'll have to explain it to me, Sergeant. I just don't follow you.
Arnold Colfax had a strong motive for this holdup.
Sure, I'll grant you that. But he didn't do it. I know for a fact he was here on Malamute Creek yesterday evening.
I'm not suggesting he did it himself.
You mean he hired someone?
That's right. You remember yesterday I told you the two strangers had moved into that old cabin north of here?
See, I'd forgotten all about them. You think they're the ones who did it?
Would certainly explain why they showed up in this vicinity all of a sudden. It will also explain why Jig was there.
You're right, Sergeant. He could have gone out there to tell him the express drivers were leaving.
When they left your cabin, Jig was in that mob of miners outside.
Yeah, getting the news so he could report to Colfax, huh?
Exactly. That's why I stressed the point that King would be able to pick up the scent of the holdup men.
You mean you were trying to throw a scare in on, huh?
That's right. Unless I'm mistaken, Jig will carry that word straight back to Colfax, and Colfax will send a warning to his two gunmen. Now, here's what we'll do. We'll circle around to the north trail and wait there.
The sergeant was right. But that same moment, Jig was speaking to Colfax in the latter's office.
I got bad news for you, boss. They found those two express drivers.
What about it? They were bound to find him sometime.
Yeah, but wait till I tell you the rest of it. The guy that found him was Sergeant Preston. And now he's going back to trail the guys that shot him.
That don't worry me, man. Speed and Red are smart enough to cover their trail.
You don't savvy. That dog of Preston's is a tracker. According to Preston, he'll be able to pick up their scent and follow him.
Holy smoke, I never thought of that.
Speed and Red better clear out of that cabin pronto. I'll go out and warn him.
Yeah, and I'll go with you. Just to make sure they kick through with our split of the gold.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment.
There's the wind-up, the pitch, the bases are loaded, and... it's a two-bagger, and the game's tied up in the last of the ninth.
Say, kids, wouldn't you give anything to be right there at that exciting moment? Well, come out to the ballpark as guest of your favorite team. You can see major or minor league baseball games free if you're 12 years or younger. Just bring mom or dad, a paying adult. To get your free ticket, here's all you do. Get a package of Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice or Muffet Shredded Wheat. Tear off the box top and send with your name and address to Baseball, Box 5205, Chicago 77, Illinois. Details are on every ticket. Get the whole family to go. You'll all have fun at the ballpark. For your free ticket, send a box top from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice or Muffet Shredded Wheat. Send the guarantee seal from Quaker Paco 10 and you'll get two free tickets. Send to Baseball, Box 5205, Chicago 77, Illinois. Send now.
A full moon had risen, and the northern lights flashing overhead made the sky brilliant as Colfax and Jig hitched up their teams and headed north toward the cabin hideout. About 3 hours later, they reached their destination.
Well, they've got a light burning inside the cabin.
Yeah, they're still awake.
Oh, it's you, Colfax.
Yeah.
Good morning. Howdy, Colfax.
Howdy. I'm afraid you gents are going to have to mush out of here in a hurry.
Yeah, what's up?
And Marty found the two express drivers.
What?
He brought them in this evening.
Who was it? That red coat that came snooping around here?
That's right, Sergeant Preston.
He's going back to the pass to pick up your trail. And his dog will be able to follow your scent.
Holy mackerel, we got to get out of here, Speed.
But first, there's a little ladder splitting up the gold. Where is it?
Over there in the corner.
Looks like quite a haul. How much does it come to?
Around 20 grand.
You can fork over half.
Sure. We can, but we're not going to.
Don't give me that, Speed. That's the split we agreed on, 50-50.
We've changed our minds.
Meaning what?
Meaning we don't like the idea of us taking all the risk and you sharing half the profit. So you'll take 5 grand and be satisfied. And if you don't like it...
Keep your hands right where they are, Speed. I figured you gents might try to welch on the deal, so I brought along this little persuader.
Oh, you dirty rat.
As Speed and Red glared with baffled rage at the revolver which Colfax had jerked out of his pocket, the door was suddenly kicked open.
Hey, hold
that gun!
Armani! Shut out the light!
Whirling in the darkness, Colfax took aim at Sergeant Preston, who was silhouetted in the doorway with the constable behind him. But King had already sensed his intention. Before he could fire, the great dog sprang.
Run him down, King!
As he spoke, the sergeant dropped to the floor, knowing that Speed, too, was armed and would go for his gun.
Hit the floor, Tom!
The constable ducked just in time to avoid Speed's bullet. Instantly, the sergeant fired back with a flash. Speed fell to the floor unconscious, and two of the four crooks were accounted for. But Jig and Red were still free to act. Jig was unarmed, hesitated uncertainly. He was afraid to make a dash for the door against the Mountie's guns. Meanwhile, Red was groping desperately for his holster, which was hanging on the wall. By this time, the sergeant's eyes were growing accustomed to the darkness. He made a dash for Red and brought him down with a flying tackle.
No, you don't. I'll fix you, Preston.
At that moment, Jake saw his chance. Grabbing up a chair, he hurled it at the constable. The constable staggered under the blow. Jake sprang at him, determined to make a dash for freedom. But the constable recovered and met him with a hard left to the jaw.
Like this. That won't stop me. Try this.
With this flying, Jake and the constable waded into each other. Meanwhile, Sergeant Preston was grappling on the floor with Red, trading blows at short range. The crook fought savagely, but the sergeant finally hammered him into submission with a series of short chops. I
ought to get some light in here.
The sergeant struck a match and looked around. He saw a cardboard box on the shelf, half full of hardtack. He emptied out the contents, then ripped up the box and lit one corner to use as a taper.
That's better. Need any help, Tom?
I don't think so. Don't hit me again. I give up.
This will work, Preston. Just get this dog away.
You'll stay right where you are, Colfax, and don't try reaching for that gun unless you want trouble with King. Go on out to the sled and get a lantern, Tom, while I keep these crooks covered.
Right, Sergeant.
A moment later, Tom returned with the lantern, and then Jig and Red were handcuffed. The other two crooks were unconscious. As the sergeant attended to Speed's wound, Colfax snarled with disgust.
I still don't see how you got here so fast.
We didn't go to Muckluck Pass. I suspected that Speed and Red were the holdup men, and I also suspected you'd try to warn them. So the constable and I simply hid on the north trail and followed you after you went by.
Of all the rotten luck.
For you, maybe. But not for Lou Burnett and the miners. When they get back this gold and you four are behind bars, this case will be closed.
Last year, there was an average of 500 forest fires every day in the United States. The forest burned would make a strip nearly a mile wide around the earth at the equator. 90% of these destructive fires were the result of carelessness on someone's part. The lighted cigarette carelessly flipped out the car window, a campfire left untended, a lighted match thrown into a drift of dry leaves, or any one of many other thoughtless acts that can cause a fire. When you are out in the woods, here are four simple rules of fire prevention to follow. Crush out cigarette, cigar, and pipe ashes. Break matches in two after using. Drown all campfires, then stir up and drown again. Always be sure to find out the law before using fire. By following these simple precautions, you will be doing your part in the prevention of costly forest fires that we can't afford. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
These specially recorded radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, and directed by Fred Flowerday. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you Monday through Friday by the Quaker Oats Company, makers of Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the delicious cereals shot from guns. In cooperation with the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Pop Wheat and Quaker Pop Rice. So long. This is Mutual, Radio Network for All America.